you can rely on Atlas Butler for all of your plumbing and drain service needs. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. One call truly does it all.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Hello and welcome to the Asia Business First podcast. I'm Julie Yu. My co-host, Adam Bhaktiya, couldn't be with us today, but filling in for him, as always, is our deputy chief editor of digital news, David Bottomley. David, good to see you again.
It's a pleasure to be here. It's always a pleasure to be here. Today we're going to be talking about a subject which I'm not too sure whether it's close to your heart, Julie, but we're talking about shopping. Are you somebody who loves a bit of retail therapy?
You know what? I'm not a huge fan of shopping, believe it or not. I see that you have a new pair of glasses, though, David. Did I get that right? Did you get it from GSS?
I did not get it at GSS. Great Singapore sale. No, that's the first thing which I have bought for months and months and months.
Okay.
Because I'm not a big shopping fan.
I see. Me too.
Going out and about to brave the crowds at Orchard Road and some of the other big malls in Singapore is not something I hugely enjoy.
But what I do enjoy, David, is a good bargain, you know, as do many Singaporeans. And one of the annual highlights of the shopping calendar here has been the Great Singapore Sale we just mentioned, which marked its silver jubilee this year. But surprisingly, there's been reports of half-empty shopping malls and the lack of usual buzz around Orchard Road during the sale season. And it looks like Singaporeans may be losing their love of retail therapy at physical stores anyway. If you look at the numbers, retail sales at department stores fell 7.3% in June compared to the month before. This is when GSS was already going on. And on year-on-year basis, the number fell by almost 2%.
And it's not just department stores, food retailers, supermarkets, furniture and household equipment sellers, optical goods, talking about glasses, and book vendors did not perform well either. But it's not as if Singaporeans have totally given up on shopping. Indeed, far from it.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of shopping is being done online instead. And according to market research company Euromonitor, Singapore's online retail sales have seen a compound annual growth rate of about 21% from 2012 to 2017. And that makes Singaporeans the biggest online shoppers in the ASEAN region.
Now, while people in Singapore may be tending to look towards in increasing numbers to shopping online, some studies have shown that shopping at brick-and-mortar stores in other parts of the world has actually been increasing in recent years. According to PwC's latest Global Consumer Insights survey of more than 22,000 online shoppers from 27 territories, the number of people who shopped in store rose from a low of 36% in 2014 to 44% last year.
Yeah, so it looks like the physical retail industry is far from dead. And this is reflected in retailing giant Walmart's impressive second quarter results that were out this week, which saw its best sale in a decade. And this was boosted by improvements to its online offerings and food shopping services. And in fact, they actually synergize its online and offline services. Like, for example, you just order your groceries online and then drive up to the supermarket where an employee will load up your car. So this has proven so popular that Amazon has copied it at its Whole Foods stores.
So perhaps it's not all doom and gloom for brick and mortar stores, but let's explore how the ones in Singapore could do a little bit better. Mm. Joining us in the studio are Michael Cham, senior lecturer in tourism at Ngee Ann Polytechnic, and Rose Tong, who's executive director at the Singapore Retailers Association, which is the organizer of the Great Singapore Sale. Now, Rose, let me start with you. How disappointed are you by the department store sales? I mean, this should be a time of year when the cash registers are red hot with people seeing really good sales, but it didn't happen at department stores. What went wrong?
I'm not disappointed, and I don't think a lot of our shoppers are disappointed. I think there are still good bargains to be made out there. I guess it's just a situation of, you know, diverting the money elsewhere. I think if we look at it in the month of June, COE prices for cars were like the lowest. There were windfalls from en bloc sales. And all these have actually led to, I imagine, you know, shoppers thinking that, oh, okay, I've got this, you know, more money right now. And then I'm going to on a holiday, more extended holidays. And I think also, you know, if you look at it, there were also more property launches. So that's where the money all went to.
That's a very short-term issue, but there has been a narrative which has been circulating around the Singapore retail scene for years that people are falling out of love with the whole retail experience in Singapore. Mm-hmm. How do you react to that suggestion that things are changing, that people don't want to necessarily go out at the weekend for a bit of retail therapy?
I guess as far as Singaporeans are concerned, they are today so much more well-travelled and they have actually gone to many different places, you know, have different experiences and they're able to make comparisons and the expectations, you know, of the retail experience have also increased. So definitely, I think Singapore needs a retail transformation. They need to review as to how they can actually position themselves, how to price their product, how to make, how to curate their products a little bit more differently and look at how to engage the customer to give, you know, the customer that joy of shopping. Because I think online, you know, it's only the fingers that do the walking. Right now, in a brick and mortar store, you could actually evoke the five senses, something which cannot be done by the online experience.
Michael, do you agree? Because I remember in one of your interviews, you said that in your assessment of the GSS, you said the duration was increased several times over the years, is being dragging out, novelty's dead. Do you still stand by that?
Yeah, to some extent, I agree that, you know, the GSS somehow has lost its attractiveness as compared to when it first started. Partly because, as what Rose says, you know, people are traveling more often. And then especially in the month of June, because it coincides with the public school holidays, a lot of people actually travel out of town. Mm. And in our neighbouring countries, there are also a lot of great sales. Like, for example, in Bangkok, in KL, in Hong Kong, there are a lot of sales. So Singaporeans, you know, because they are going on a family vacation, then they will buy stuff from this destination as well. So in that sense, it actually explains why in the June sale actually is not as good in Singapore as compared to the past years. Having said that, I think I do agree with Rose that we have to do more to engage our consumers. I think if you look at our malls, you know, a lot of our malls basically look quite similar, regardless of whether it's in Orchard Road or whether in the regional area. They all look the same. They all carry the same brand. The shopping experience more or less are the same. So what I'm suggesting is that maybe we could look at how we could engage our consumers more, especially in the five senses. And we may have to also relook at some of our business model. Things are changing. Things are changing. That is the positive thing, that a lot of retailers are also engaging the online consumers. You know, like, for example, you shop online and you go to the store to pick things up. Things are evolving, but I think more can be done.
If I may add a word or two about the GSS, it's 25 years old. I think for an event to have lasted 25 years is really quite a feat, especially, you know, with a changing and very challenging retail landscape. And like what Michael has said, you know, our neighbours are giving, you know, more attractions for our shoppers to go to because our dollars are so strong. GSS is actually a household name today and definitely one that's worldwide known because if you key in and you search GSS, the Great Singapore Sale, it will pop up all over. And it is actually recognised as one of the top five shopping festivals. But we agree. I don't think it's so much as a case of, you know, falling out of love of GSS, but it's an expectation that has been raised as to, you know, GSS having to be better.
Rose, how supportive are retailers of GSS? Because I remember when I first came to Singapore almost 20 years ago, the buzz surrounding it was actually pretty significant. And there was a huge expectation that you could score some really good bargains at
how
GSS.
How long ago was that?
This was about 20 years ago.
Okay. I think since then, there have been like, what, double the number of shopping centres that are available?
It's there. It's a phenomenon. I'm aware of GSS. But for me, I don't feel that it's quite the same level of excitement, that I don't feel that if I go out and about during GSS, mm-hmm. I'm going to be able to score those really fantastic bargains, which I could 10, 15, 20 years ago. Mm. Are the retailers still really behind it in terms of trying to make it work? Or just as consumers have lost a little bit of interest in the whole event, some of the retailers have as well, perhaps?
I would suspect that it's a situation of shoppers being conditioned to sales the whole year round, that right now, you know, is really not quite the sale worth waiting for. Mm. However, I think GSS still remains the only one platform for retailers island-wide to come together and to bond together on a collective effort to offer, you know, to leverage on the brand's event as well as the associated publicity to drive the traffic and sales. It is an occasion whereby everyone could come together and say, it's the Great Singapore Sale. And some have cleverly actually used that, like, for example, a retailer seat says the Great Singapore Seat Sale, you know, mm-hmm. to play with the acronym, or the Great Singapore Spree at a certain outlet. So I think it is also an event that retailers would still want to come together. It's just that, you know, they have also been having their regular sales a whole year round, such that at the end of the day, you know, they don't really see that huge incremental increase that they expect.
You're right. I mean, we have sales throughout the year, you know. I mean, if you borrow, was it Robinson's tagline, you know, the sales worth waiting for? In the past, you know, you don't have so many sales. You only have sales in certain point in the year, in the calendar year. Four times a year, yeah. But today we have sales every day. You flip the newspaper, you know, sales almost in every shop, almost every day. So if you want to make the GSS something extraordinary, it has to be something out of the norm, not the everyday thing. Mm. So it could be the program, it could be how the sales is conducted, you know. It must have some sense of excitement to engage the consumers. If not, it'll be just an ordinary sale and people will most probably overlook it.
Rose, what's your association doing about it to improve this sort of retail scene?
Well, a few things. I think we have been, you know, tossing some ideas around and perhaps a renaming, such that we still keep the acronym of the GSS because it's really quite a great acronym to, you know, stick with the branding. But instead of calling it a sale, because having it a sale kind of like limits the ability to do other things. And there are some, you know, retailers who do not want to be specifically associated with a sale. Mm. So we thought maybe perhaps it could be a GSS or, you know, like a great Singapore shopping festival. Mm. So you could still keep the acronym. And we would like to also consider shortening the period because I think, you know, probably 10 weeks long could be a bit limiting and exhausting, you know. And I think retailers and shoppers are also a bit tired out, you know. And if we have it too long a period, it doesn't create that urgency to shop.
Okay, so that's some ideas for how to breathe some new life into GSS.
Ideas, right.
But let's widen it out to talk in more general terms about retail. Rose, you spoke about retail transformation. Michael, you spoke about engaging the five senses. Now, I've heard quite a lot about this, but let's put some flesh on the bones. What do we mean when we say the engagement of five senses when you're out and about shopping?
Okay, maybe I could give an example to illustrate this. I mean, in the past, when you go to shopping mall, you buy cosmetics. There's a cosmetic stand and you have consultants who basically helps you to choose the cosmetic products according to maybe the type of color tone, the type of skin that you have and things like that. That basically is just a typical purchasing experience. But let's say I transform this into a facial salon. You know, you can go there and get your face done and then they kind of recommend you different types of products at the end of the whole experience. And then because you have that experience and then you feel good about that products, and, you know, at the end of the whole facial, you could maybe buy some of these products instead of just a kind of a transactional kind of relationship. So that is what I mean by engaging the consumer with the five senses.
Is this something, Rose, which retailers are trying to get going a bit more?
Yeah, I think retailers, for example, like Watson, Sephora, you know, where cosmetics are concerned, it's very experimental. In fact, you don't even need to kind of like dirty your face, whereby they have, you know, technology involved, whereby you could try the different colours and imagine what you could look like without having to kind of, you know, feel apologetic about trying this color and trying that color, etc. And you don't have to feel guilty about not buying eventually because, you know, you were serviced by this lady or this sales staff who's been like standing at the corner, etc. You know, and you could do it in privacy. And I think technology has played a good part in motivating sales, mm-hmm. or at least, you know, trying to see, hey, you know, I think you look good in this and all. But I think at the end of the day, it's still the customer or rather the customer engagement with the retailers or with the sales floor staff who's able to kind of like sway and influence that decision and to make you buy.
Okay, so yeah. What could be the biggest challenge in pursuing this approach, this creating this holistic shopping experience? Would cost be the biggest challenge?
I think cost is one element. Mm. Like, for example, what Rose says, you know, evolve technology.
Yeah.
I guess as time progresses, I mean, technology becomes cheaper. I mean, you can most probably implement this more readily as compared to in the past. For example, we have things like AI, VR. All this basically will give consumers different sense of experience. Take, for example, you want to buy cosmetic. You go to this particular screen, you take a picture of you, and then they change the color of the lipstick. You know, I mean, you kind of have a feel of how it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Or you go to a clothing shop, you know, you take a picture of yourself, you change the different type of clothing, and then you see how it looks like. And you even can go to a VR goggle, wear a VR goggles and see, you know, how it looks like. This experience basically will give shopper another reason for going to the shop.
Mm.
And I think the brick and mortar shops, to some extent, it is still relevant. You know, like for example, you buy a piece of clothes, you like to have a feel of the texture of the clothes, the fabric, and you like to wear and then see how it fits, yeah. and stuff like that. You can't really do it online. In fact, a lot of online purchase, a lot of consumers are buying clothes online. At the end of the day, they have to come back to alter the clothes to fit themselves. So actually, it creates a big market for alteration business among the tailors. So it's not a perfect fit. But the thing is that if you were to buy from a brick and mortar shop, at least you can actually have a total different experience.
Yeah.
I think in some countries, like in the West, like in New York, there's this shop called Nike Soho. Basically, if you want to buy a pair of track shoes, there is a track arena there. You can actually run on it with a high-definition screen around you. Mm. You feel good. You know, that's how you feel when you want to buy that pair of shoes. That's what it's like. And they also have things like half a basketball court, and then you can play with the surround sound and things like that. You know, you give you the kind of esteem that you are a pro. You know, but I think to introduce technology, I think it involves cost, but I think it can be managed.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because having a running track and half a basketball court with, you know, virtual reality screens all around, that's not cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And Rose, are retailers in this part of the world willing to make that investment? Do they see some value in changing the whole retail experience in order to try and bring more people through their doors?
I think admittedly, the rentals would actually prohibit retailers from actually moving into that area of, you know, having the basketball court, the full track, etc. So, but I think retailers can actually do it cleverly. I think there needs to be a strategy to move from selling a product to really selling a service or an experience. And this would actually involve, you know, the training, the empowerment on ground. And I would like to specifically mention the empowerment aspect of it, which is, I think we all like the bargain, but, you know, there are some shops whereby they're very strict, you know, it's only 25% and that's it. Can you give me more? Can la? No, cannot, you know. But if the salesperson is empowered to just say, tell you what, you buy this and let me top up with, I'll give you a scarf, you know, or a belt to go with it, you know, if you meet a certain value. But that is the part whereby it's a bit restrictive, because it's always the management who probably thinks that this could be abused. So we need to manage that. But it is also a way of engaging the customer, making the customer feel good and they want to come back. But there's always this concern that, oh, if you do that, then the shopper will keep coming back expecting, you know, more and more belts, you know, thereafter. But I don't think that's how we, you know, we should operate. So I think we really need to move away from, you know, just... I think retail is fun. Retail should be an experience, and you should experiment different ways, you know, and you should know your customers so well that you know what they want. And I guess that's where, again, technology comes in, from having to use, you know, POS systems, which gives you the power of data analytics, so that, you know, immediately, again, you like, oh, hi, Michael, you're back. How did that dress, you know, oh, sorry, not a dress, shirt for you, you know, work, you know, and yeah, you know, oh, I see you've actually gotten a little thinner, you know, so I think you need a size down. So it's really knowing the customer, and, you know, the customer feels so good, they want to come back. I guess that's why I would go back to my same hairdresser, because I can tell her a lot of things about my family that my children are not even bothered to listen, you know.
But when I was at school, I used to work in retail. I had a job in a gentleman's clothes shop. Mm-hmm. And the owner of the shop, he empowered me to give discounts and to throw in little bits and pieces here and there, so that if a customer came in and they were spending a lot of money, he said, look, we want these people to come back and spend even more money.
Right.
So if you think it's worthwhile, give them a 5% discount, throw in a box of underwear or whatever it might be. And it was really great. I was just a kid. I was just 17, 18 at that time. But because he recognized the value of treating your customers as individuals rather than this homogenous mass of people with wallets, it meant that one could build up strong relationships with those customers, and you would get to know them and get to know their preferences.
I think this is where the SMEs, you know, with not the usual chain retail stores, they would be able to, you know, excel in that, because it is within their power, and, you know, they don't have like hard, you know, policies, you know, management guidelines that they need to abide by, you know, sorry, it's buy two, get one free. You cannot buy, you know, you cannot, you know, buy two, get two free.
But isn't this where the fundamental problem with the Singapore retail scene comes in, is that it is dominated by chains? And it goes back to Michael's earlier point, that you've got the malls, which are so samey and dominated by all the chains, that there's no individuality, that there's no uniqueness on offer.
Right.
And what Singapore really needs are the smaller independent shops who can offer something different, can offer a more personalised service. Yeah. So what can we do to bring those type of retailers in?
Ah, this is where we thought that for next year's Great Singapore Sale, I think one of the driving forces could be that, you know, we want to promote Singapore. And this is where, you know, the Singapore brands could be largely promoted as a result of, you know, the GSS, and which is why if you don't call it a sale, I think that's where the Singapore brands will feel that, okay, I'm not going to be associated with the sale. Because I think it's a time that we really, you know, take the Singapore brands to the fore and see them as, you know, being able to help Singapore differentiate itself. And we've got so many talents out down there, and, you know, we've always been talking about wanting to, you know, give a leg up to all these entrepreneurial, you know, this is a good opportunity, but it should not also be seen as though it's only the Great Singapore Sale that can actually do this. It would be occasions, you know, different seasons and stuff like that, or even at different times of the year. But I think this is where the developers or mall managers can do their part, where they could be perhaps a little bit more merciful if you're a SME and, you know, selling a Singapore product.
You talked about different themes and season and all that, but who do you think should be the target audience? Should it be the tourists or domestic consumers, or should it be the younger, more tech-savvy, you know, generations of shoppers?
No, I think it would be a combination of both the locals as well as the tourists. I mean, at the end of the day, if you want to sell Singapore, you know, the tourists want to come to Singapore to buy something that's different, something that they can say, oh yeah, this is a Singapore product. I can't get this from any other places. So, you know, it's reminiscent of the experience in Singapore. And for the locals, I think at the end of the day, you know, being able to have a product that's made in Singapore and they wear it outside, out of the country, and they say, oh, where did you get this? Oh, this is from Singapore. I think it brings a sense of pride.
I think it's good to have a celebration of our own creation. I think many Singaporeans do not know our local brands.
Yes.
So I think it's good that we should educate our local people. You know, we always associate the best brand to be somewhere else. So I think it's good that we can educate our local people. That's one. And then I think, of course, if we sell our brand to the foreigners, and then that will help us to grow our market as well. I kind of like the idea of not calling it a GSS, but maybe a festival or carnival, you know, to create some kind of excitement. Mm-hmm. The challenge is that how to get everybody together, you know, to celebrate something. Mm-hmm. I think one good start most probably will be celebrating Singapore success, you know, like our Singapore brand and our Singapore products. I think that could be one way to do that. And I think if we can celebrate something, I think Singaporeans will come forth to support it. I mean, I always believe that things must be something that is grown from home ground. If Singaporeans are supportive of it, then I think naturally the foreigners will come in and be excited about it as well.
Yeah.
So I think a carnival or festival may be a better thing than just a sale. Because the name sale has an association with cheap things.
Mm.
You know, so if you keep on having sales, everybody who comes in and all want to buy cheap things, you know, if there's no good bargain, sorry, I'm not going to buy. But let's change it a little. Let's say we call it a carnival or a festival, you know, to celebrate maybe our success as a Singapore brand. Then maybe, you know, it will change the mindset and then it will add value to it rather than just a pure bargain.
Yeah, and it would not be just limited to, you know, fashion or even just the products, etc. But it would be a celebration of Singapore art, you know, talents in music, entertainment. You know, it could be a whole festival that just celebrates, you know, everything that's quite Singapore. So it gives perhaps tourists a better reason to want to come to Singapore and to be engaged.
Well, on that exciting and optimistic note, I think we'll leave it there. But
yeah,
thank you very much both for joining us. Mm-hmm. That's Michael Cham, Senior Lecturer in Tourism at Ngee Ann Polytechnic, and Rose Tong, Executive Director at the Singapore Retailers Association.
For comprehensive coverage of business and political news, catch my co-host, Adam Bhatia, who's away, but we'll be back, and myself on Asia Business First on Channel News Asia. It's also available on the video on demand section on channelnewsasia.com. Join us again next week. Thanks for listening. Bye.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights. Whether that's live music at an historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect. Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. That's tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.